When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Hour number two. Go to the text line real quick before we get back into this. Angry Rams fan says, as a Rams fan, Wagner is one of the few that I can root for. The same with Warner from the Niners. That dude is legit as well. There's some guys that you can root for outside of your own circle.
Oh, right. Yeah, for sure.
You know, texter mentions that Colt Brennan carried Hawaii. Wasn't NFL good? Yeah, but he made Hawaii fun to watch for.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that it would make them NFL good. What I'm saying is the personality traits or the ability to lead teams that are undermanned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That should be a big factor when you're looking at – I always look at Jay Cutler. I always look at Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm. Talent is one thing. Leadership is a whole other.
Yeah, leadership is another. Because sometimes if you have a little bit less talent, look at like Drew Brees, right? But he has excellent work ethic and knowledge of the game, so forth and so on. But the more appealing draft pick, not maybe at that time because I don't know if they're in the same draft, would have been Jay Cutler because of the arm strength. Just like we were talking about DeShone Kizer, right?
Right.
And all these other quarterbacks that went before, like Tom Brady. I was talking about the ability to lead. So I guess if I wasn't clear.
But how do you know? How does the NFL scouts and coaches know whether somebody can lead or not? Because
because
Tom Brady didn't really even, like, he was a part-time starter in Michigan. So
right, but if you watched Michigan that year, I was a fan of Michigan or a fan of Tom Brady then, because he was always fighting Drew Henson, the golden boy, the Yankee draft pick, mm-hmm. the arm.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Brady always was better, and he was always given, I always say, the crap duty. Okay, Drew Henson, they're down by 14. Here comes Tom, and he leads them back.
Mm-hmm.
Every week he's you know, competing for the starting job when he's continued to answer the bell, right? So he showed that,
mm-hmm.
but his 40 time in combine, you know.
And he let him take the picture of him in the shorts.
Right.
He should have known.
Well, you don't have no choice. But at the end of the day, they focus more on that versus what they saw on the tape. Now, granted, like, look, it was a perfect marriage between him and the Patriots. But let's be honest, the Patriots picked him in the sixth round.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were really, really smart, they would have probably picked him in the second round and say, I know something that you guys don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the way that's the way the NFL is. They at quarterback position, that's where you see so many busts. They'll talk themselves into drafting a guy knowing two or three, four guys are better.
But isn't that what college recruiting really relies on, right? That sometimes they miss.
They rely on the underwear Olympics, bodies, type, styles, height, weight, speed, versus looking at football players. Does he love football?
Does he love work?
Is he a worker? Is he mentally tough? X, Y, and Z. You know, that's where you see a lot of guys. That's where you see a lot of these five-star guys that don't make it. You know, five-star guy comes in to any school, thinks he's just given a starting spot or carries or receptions or defensive snaps, and then next thing you know, you have a guy that was a two-star recruit, and then, you know, he's kind of been working at it for a year or two, and he knows the system. He's mentally tougher, and he's a pretty good football player, and you get beat out. And, I mean, that's the way it is. And then the easy – not the easy, but then there's an option for the transfer portal, which in theory was good because I think the rule of sitting out a year without any adjustments, that's the way it was archaic, you know, because it's no different than, say, like if you were at Notre Dame for just a year and you redshirted or at, you know, certain school and say LSU, you redshirted, well, then the whole staff is gone. Yeah, you go to – said school for the school, but you also had three or four coaches that recruited you. They're all gone. But then if you wanted to transfer to another school, back then you had to sit out a year. So, you know, the evaluation process is not easy. Sometimes I think people get in their own way when they try to decide who they, you know, want to go after, so forth and so on. I think that you know, I think also one of the things is that, if you know, I always say this, you could have a kid that's from Lincoln or Omaha, and the same kid, and he could be, I don't know, just say 6'4", 250, and play, I don't know, whatever position, tight end, offensive tackle, whatever, and it could be the same kid that's still 6'4", 250, and just say he's a lineman. He would be ranked higher because he lives in Texas versus him living in Nebraska.
No doubt.
Without even knowing who he is, what his, you know, support system is, does he love football?
Or his flaws?
But it could be the same player though. So he has the same flaws.
Okay.
So this person in Nebraska is going to be, say, like a 2 or 3 star, and the guy in Texas is going to be a 4 star. They'll overlook. If he was an offensive guard, let's just say this, and he's only 255.
And I think some of this is positional.
Well, sure, but he could be the offensive guard in Nebraska and in Texas, same kid. Mm-hmm. They'll overlook it being from Texas, and it will be focused on because he's from Nebraska.
I agree with 99% of that because a lineman from Nebraska will get the same look. The question is whether – Nebraska's competition is at the level of Texas.
Sure, but at the end of the day, there's no competition that you're going to get once you get in college, so it doesn't matter. Well, I wouldn't say it doesn't matter. Everything within reason.
Is that a part of the decision-making process?
It should. I mean, yeah, if you're looking for him to be ready-made, yeah, he's played against better competition, but you could play against good competition and not be a competitor.
Right. So that all of that those things are important.
Right. So I mean, you could be the ultimate. I mean, you can't. I mean. If you're from Ogallala, Nebraska, you can't, and you are a bad dude, and you are just running through cats, and then you go to a camp and you still run through cats, right? Say you come to like a, I guess, a Nebraska, you know, camp, and you still run through cats, then, you know, you can't talk about competition. But I've seen plenty of guys from bigger cities and bigger states and that a plethora of Division I players have played probably better competition than kids, and they just can't, they're not competitors.
How much of a recruiting is paying attention to who they're competing against?
I'm sure it's – I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, when you look at – so somebody sends you a film on a
– Oh, I don't look player. At – I don't – I mean, yeah, yeah. If he's out there playing against, you know, then you got to really look into his physical attributes because you can't really – you know, you can't – you know, ideally I think the best evaluation is when you play against like players, right? But – if somebody's not able to play against them, yeah, you could be like a little bit of negative, but I'm not going to shut the door on, say, like a DP and you're you know, just in your area in Virginia, there's not – it might be a down year for football players or you just might be that guy. You know what I'm saying? So then you got to look at – then you got to do some more homework. You know, you got to look at his, you know, his feet and what you always do. You got to really focus in on that. Then you got to see what he's made of. Because it will be an adjustment for him, but I think kids can make that adjustment if they have the right makeup.
I had a conversation with a scout this morning, and a part of what he was talking about was he said the greatest time waster for him is film of not like leveled competition. And I want to tell people, look, if you're putting together your highlight film, show me against the best players you play against.
Right.
Whatever you're doing against the best players you play against is what I need to see.
Sure.
I don't need to see you playing against your little brother in the backyard.
Yeah.
I don't need to see you over at Chili State. Like, we don't need that. We need to see that. For you, when you talk about certain positions, you talk about the difference between a guy running back from Nebraska versus a running back from Florida. Those human perceptions of what happens in Florida come into play.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's like I'm telling you, it's like semi-pro football down there. Right? I mean, it's, and I'm sure. Look, they got spring ball down there, so they're, you know, it's football year round, and so they're developed more than when you live in the Midwest because you're not able to go play in the snow. But then also, I'd like to think that the ceiling of some kids that are in a different, you know, geographical area, it could be higher than, say, like, you know, states that they play year-round, you know, and so.
And you play more games in the South. Like, right. That's just how it works.
So it's, I mean, it's just, you know, it's give or take. You just got to do a good job evaluating, see what you want. You know, get in where you fit in, and once they get here, you know, give them the chance to, you know, reprove themselves. I always say that what you did in high school got you here. What you do here is going to get you where you want to go.
What do you say to this? So Jake asks, how are stars assigned anywhere? The people in basements watching footage of thousands of players and arbitrarily rating them. How does one get this job? I can assign stars randomly based on geography and stats. Do you know any of the people who are part of the star system?
I have no idea. I'm sure they have a private club. Yeah, I'm sure they have, like, film, 40-time, how well you have, you know, how well you do at other camps. A lot of it's probably, you know, based on offers. I have no idea. That's their little niche, you know. I think it's just a starting point when you say, hey, so-and-so signed at this school, and he's a former four-star, you know, recruit or whatever.
It's the mentally lazy thing where people want everything organized for them.
Right.
And you don't want to put your eyes to it and actually put in the work.
Well, it's just good to talk. I mean, it's a good starting point to kind of figure out, you know, because a lot of guys might be, a kid might be a four-star recruit based on he has a ton of potential, right? He's like a, you know, uncut diamond, you know, where you know, but he has the, you know, the height that you might want to play multiple positions, and he's, you know, he's fast and he has a frame that you can put, you know, weight on, but he doesn't have the experience or the experience of playing because maybe, you know, he transitioned from basketball to football, or he doesn't have experience because he just hadn't played a lot of games.
Yeah, you know? I mean, so that's
there's a lot that goes into, you know, I'm sure their evaluation. You know, and so, you know, this thing is recruiting now is almost to a science. You know, I know, like, recruits wait for that first offer, most likely from the biggest school around in their region, mm-hmm. and then they can take that to parlay into multiple offers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so crucial to have that first offer, because once you get that, it's the springboard, because I know other schools look at it like,
Who else offered them? That's literally the first question that's asked.
Right.
On a regular basis. Joe asked the question, do recruiters just care about game film, or are there other ways to get kids noticed when they're not getting playing time? Mo Alacox didn't even play football in college.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
He played basketball.
Right.
VCU didn't have football.
Yeah.
If you have skill and talent and you decide you want to approach it, you can track it. It's much easier if you have tape.
Sure.
Like, it's much easier. It's much easier to send. I can't send somebody a letter and say, hey, I've got a kid that, you know, hadn't played. Well, you can, but it's a much narrower pool. For you, how much time do you spend – looking at the film of guys that are announced that, you know, they got an offer from Nebraska? Do you ever look
not
at
much.
It?
Just, yeah. I don't help out with that. You know what I mean?
Well, no. Just for your own.
I mean, sometimes I might, you know, if there's somebody post their deal or whatever, I might look at it. I'm looking for attributes and not highlight tapes. Nobody's posting a tape of them dropping a ball.
Right.
Them getting blown up. Or anything like that. I know it happened, so it's not that big a deal, but I just kind of look at more of attributes.
Yeah.
You know, attributes based on what position they play.
Well, I mean, I always said
skill sets maybe is a better.
Well, if you can show me that you can do the thing that's required at the very base level, if you're a linebacker and you can tackle, we can talk.
Then we're rolling. We got that box checked.
Right, like if you're around the ball.
Right, can you change direction? Can you come out of your breaks? What's your closing speed like? What's your play diagnosis like? How and it's all based on who is doing the huddle. I want to see guys that can communicate. Because that shows me you got leadership. Are you anticipating?
Can you be the guy
that leads the orchestra? Because that's what you are as a middle linebacker.
Yep.
You're the conductor or whatever he's called. And so there's a lot of things that go into it. You know, what's your pad level like? Do you run your feet on contact? But these are all things that either have been taught or you can work on to get better. But those are things you look at. You know, how well do you do? You know, you can tell if the guy that he's tackling is a good back. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean he has to be a 4 or 5 star, but you know he's a good back. So it's not an easy science, man. It's not, man. It's because you could have a guy that has all the bells and whistles per se, and then you get here and you got was that the Lion in the or was that the Tin Man?
Tin Man has no heart. Lion had no courage.
Yeah, well, same thing. Yeah.
Have you seen that little clip? There was a clip that was actually made based on that, looking at football players. And go, well, that one has no brain. That one has no heart. That one has no courage.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a big part of it, right?
Well, I think sometimes you don't got no brain if you play football. but
you won't keep a brain. You may not keep it after you do that.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that – it's hard to do. It's hard to do when they go draft guys. It's hard to do when they draft guys in the NBA. It's hard to do when they draft guys in baseball. You just never know.
I think a lot of it is this, and this is what recruiters have told me, that they don't particularly care who you're playing against. It's what you do when you're playing against them. That you should be consistent in what you do.
You should. Yeah, you shouldn't be – if a player always says, man, look at these 4 games, that lets me know them 8 other games you were garbage. If you got to depend on a game to prove how good you are, that means you're not very good. Or games or something like that.
Fair.
You should be consistent. One of the best compliments that you can get as a player or that you as a if you're getting evaluated, that you're consistent. Because that's what you want. You want somebody that you know, if say like when you're drafting guys, that you know there's going to be there every single day, every single game, and he's going to be there to make plays.
Here's a question. Do you think Arch Manning got an extra star because of his family history?
I don't know, but he's a bad boy, so I guess but he's legit, at least from what I've seen. I'm sure it didn't hurt. Hey, look, man, that's the gene pool, man. That's the first family of football.
It really is, isn't it?
Anytime you have a player that calls the team up and says, man, I ain't playing for you, and you better not draft me in the modern day without saying I'm going to go play baseball like John Elway, yeah, you the first family of football.
And paid no retribution for it.
Right. And then everybody was okay with it.
Would you put Kobe in that situation? Him telling Charlotte, don't draft me?
No. I said first family, seeing it essentially, you know, Archie, Peyton,
no.
Eli, no, you know, this young one. I mean, where we're 4 or 5 deep here. Sure. But there's been guys that don't want to go to certain markets in the NBA. I mean, remember Cunningham that went number 1 this year? He kind of embraced going to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
There's other guys that probably didn't embrace going to Detroit. So, you know, yeah, you could put Kobe in there, but I was talking about the first family of football. I mean, that's a pretty good trait. I mean,
who else would be in that conversation? The families. The Matthews?
Yeah, but they didn't really, cause a fuss, but they have a deep lineage of plethora of Matthews that have been.
Right?
Like, yeah. If you don't make it in the NFL and you got Matthews' last name, you looking at you like.
change your name.
Change your name. There he is over there. You know the one that couldn't make it.
There really aren't that many multi-generation.
I mean, there's Chris Long, Howie Long. I mean, there's plenty of guys like that, but I'm talking about 2, 3, 4 down the line.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't that many multi-generation families in football. You get a little bit more of that in baseball, but not in football. Wow. Yeah, the Mannings are. I guess they are. So through all of this stuff, right, that if you go into a command center for football, for any team program, et cetera,
right,
that what percentage of the recipe is who you have on your team plus who you have coaching or teaching on your team? What's the perfect ratio? What's the right balance? Does talent overrun development? Can development negate?
In the NFL level?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not really – I don't think they really develop a lot of guys. Not anymore.
Okay.
Because they want instant return on their investment. So that's why they start rookies. You see, when I came in as a rookie, first-round picks weren't even starting. You had to wait a year or two. You had to earn your spot. So the veterans kind of showed you the way. Now they're like, dude, you come from – the draft right into starting. So I don't think much development is there. So I think, you know, the mix of it now is more talent-based because everybody tries to out-talent each other. Like I said, there's only a few teams that are actually trying to win, and they are a more 50-50 balance of talent, teaching. You could throw development in there, but, yeah, because they're able to – and this is what I mean by development. They're able to take a – second or third stringer, say priority or a street free agent, mm-hmm. and have him be a immediate or emergency stopgap and make plays versus the teams that are just trying to accumulate the best athletes, you know, so forth and so on, and they aren't very consistent.
Like, development to me was Utah and Urban Meyer turning Alex Smith, who was a third team kind of a grad student kind of kid, into a number one draft pick. That to me is development. Like, you lit the fire under dude, figured out how you're going to make it work. Not everybody can do that. Like,
sure.
I think development is overused. You can turn this dude in. Now, being able to coach somebody into doing the things that you need for them to do most often.
Yeah. It's a hard thing to do.
Right?
Because there's so many other distractions or people in their ear. Straight up, that have probably known and been with them longer than you have. You know what I'm saying? And also, you know, whether it's the Y generation or anything, I mean, they think they know everything. They know little. But at the end of the day, it's hard to get kids to I guess the quote is buy in to what you're asking them to
do. I know
do.
You hate that. You hate that so much.
Right. I'm not trying to sell you on something that you could easily have taken away from you if you don't perform. So I don't need you to buy in. I just need you to do
your job.
I just need you to do the routine things as routinely as possible, which is all the time. That's it. That's how you win games. That's how you win and be more consistent. It's not learning how to win. It's learning how to do the routine things routinely all the time or the majority of the time. Not sometimes. Not for a drive or two. Mm-hmm. Not for a half or two. Not a game or two. Majority and all the time.
How complicated is that when it's teenagers?
It is complicated.
Because we know teenagers aren't the same from hour to hour, let alone.
Exactly. Know. And they have people in their ear, and they have people that they don't even know, which is via social media, that can distract them, deter them, and get them to think that what you're trying to do isn't up to snuff. And nobody really wants to be accountable, right? Nobody wants to be
feel like they first and they
right,
know more.
Nobody wants to point the thumb, I guess, like I quote the great Mark Pelini, Bo right. Pelini. And I remember this, and I could say this. I remember in Buffalo when the GM the owner came in and told us that he fired the GM, and essentially it was because he wouldn't fire Wade, who Wade wouldn't fire Bruce DeHaven, right? He ended up firing him or getting fired a couple years later. I remember sitting in the locker room and I was talking with Ted Washington, and he was like, yeah, you know, like the guys that should be really upset are the guys that were on that Music City Miracle kickoff, because none of this would have happened if they would have either covered the kick better, or we would have called, instead of a squib kick, we would have, you know, called a regular kick. So, and I was like, really? And he was like, yeah. He's like, that's why, he's like, those guys are responsible for John Butler to get fired, which essentially hurts everybody on that team, because that's the guy that built the team. So that there's going to be a new GM. Mm-hmm. So even if you play good, you know, you see guys start to get jettisoned year, two, three, 4 years early. And so that was my first experience of dealing with a coach or a decision maker per se getting fired, you know, mid-season. And it was a unique – it changed my viewing of how things go. But now that I view that, you know, college football now is NFL or professional football, you know, things are, you know, I think run right in line with it.
We'll throw it back. When we come back, there's a little bit more meat on this bone that we're going to go through. The coaching aspect of their questions. And then, of course, the texter asked for a T-shirt sales update, so we have to do that as well.
What is it, Nick?
Is
Big Sky here?
Big pay, be
there,
patient.
Look at Mikey over there.
Be patient. We will have those answers and information for you when we come back from the break. We'll be right back.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.